In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So reading from 2 Corinthians. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." The second reading is from the apocryphal book of Wilson, chapter 1, verses 1. "Let's go surfing now. Everybody's learning how. Come on, a safari with me." That was a risk. That's an opening joke, and you'll find out why I'm doing that. But before I start preaching, I should say thank you to everyone. It's been wonderful being with you. It's been more than a little surreal being here. But thank you, everyone. I've just felt so welcomed and loved, and it means the world. I'm going to do something a little odd today, and I hope you'll follow me. If those of you who do follow my work with Mockingbird, this will be something that you know is in my wheelhouse. And for those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, stick with me if you can. I'm going to try to explain to you how I have come to understand what St. Paul is talking about when he says, "When I am weak, then I am strong." That very Lenten, deeply Lenten sentiment about the power of weakness. I'm going to try to explain to you what I've found that means to me, what I've discovered through the life and music of Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys. Brian Wilson, if you don't know, he is the eccentric and reclusive leader of the Beach Boys, who are a group that were formed in the 60s, the three Wilson brothers with their cousin, and they were formed in the early 60s, and they had a sort of a meteoric rise until 1967, and they're nothing less than the most popular or highest-selling pop group, American pop group of all time. And they've probably been impressed on your subconscious, whether you like it or not. Maybe you find them irritating, maybe you find them unavoidable, but sort of fun in the sun is not complete without a sort of a "let's go surfing now." But Brian is the one of the brothers, he's the oldest brother, and he's the one who wrote and arranged and produced all of their music, and he's considered something of a genius. I mean, actually, he's not considered something of a genius, he's considered a genius. And he's a total autodidact. He had no training. He's the sort of person that is humbling to watch, because the gift that he's been given is so out of proportion with his own deservedness. Meaning, if you listen to him talk, he can't articulate himself. He's not educated. He is awkward. And he's strange. Yet he's been given this enormous gift. And maybe you know some other genius that you admire that cannot account for the gift that they've been given. There's something deeply gracious about that. But for our purposes today, I find Brian Wilson to be emblematic or a lesson in the power of vulnerability. He is the original heart-on-his-sleeve rock musician. Now, rock and roll, as you know, when it came out in the 50s, it was sort of a tough man's game. It was not for sissies. It was rebellious. It was hard. And here comes Brian Wilson, this tall, awkward, not very good-looking, introverted, sensitive guy who had a gift, and started singing songs about surfing. Although he didn't surf, and only one of the Beach Boys surfed, that's one of the many ironies of the Beach Boys, none of them were Beach Boys. There's a lot of irony in this sermon, or at least I like to think so. He was the product of an abusive childhood. He had a very overbearing father. Hopefully you can't relate, but maybe you can. And so he was a very self-conscious person through whom this stuff just poured out. But Brian, for whatever reason, possessed one quality that not a lot of us have. He had no filter between what was going on inside of him and what came out. Most of us have thoughts that we don't share with people. I would say all of us have thoughts that we don't share with people. You don't want your thoughts recorded and televised. Brian Wilson happened to do this, and it made for some of the most beautiful and connective music. It also made for some music that was deeply sad and troubled. What am I talking about? Maybe you remember the song In My Room that they sang in 1963. There is a world where I can go and tell my secrets to, in my room. That's a strange song. There haven't been a lot of songs written by men talking about how great their bedroom is for sort of solitude. It is an anthem of introspection and introversion. So Brian is a broken vessel. You know, the psalmist wrote, I am a forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. And Brian Wilson in 1970 wrote, I am a cork on the ocean floating over the raging sea. How deep is the ocean? I lost my way. So what we have here is a man who let himself be seen over and over again, as painful as that could be. But him being vulnerable and being seen was what gave his music and his art the connective brilliance that it has. It has for me, at least. Maybe you know the song Don't Worry, Baby. The opening lines, which are so strange and insecure that they just, you have to sort of press repeat every time you hear them. They say, well, it's been building up inside of me for, oh, I don't know how long. I don't know why, but I keep thinking something's bound to go wrong. But she looks in my eyes and makes me realize when she says, don't worry, baby. His music is filled with a preponderance of male tears. So it's a little uncomfortable. Don't Worry, Baby turns the gender archetypes on their heads. Normally a tough guy would be consoling a hysterical woman or a suffering girlfriend. Here you have a woman consoling an insecure boy who's about to do some drag racing. That's completely insipid. He loses. He jumps the shark in the second and third verse. But he starts out with this very true, deep shot to the heart. And of course, a person who can't unable to numb their inner vulnerabilities, their doubts, their fears, they're also able to experience gratitude in a way that other people are guarded against. So maybe it should come as no surprise that Brian Wilson wrote perhaps the greatest song about gratitude in the American popular canon. It's called God Only Knows. God only knows what I'd do without you. God only knows who I'd be without you. He talked about God giving him that song. It was actually the first pop song post-1960 to hit the charts that actually had the word God in the title, believe it or not. But what we learned from Brian Wilson, if you're still with me, what you learn from Brian Wilson is that vulnerability it's counterintuitive. Vulnerability is the place where connection happens. And where connection happens, it means it's the birthplace of love. So it's not surprising that the main theme of the Beach Boys' music was love. Love, 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 love. They weren't intellectual like the Beatles. They were, in fact, schizophrenic, both in their content and personally. Brian Wilson was a schizophrenic. Now, a theologian of the cross, I'm making a jump here, believes that the only path to life is death, a.k.a. there is no path to life that does not involve a crucifixion, no resurrection that does not involve a Calvary. So if vulnerability, then, is the source of connection and of love, and that's what we theoretically want, why aren't we more vulnerable? Well, the researcher Brené Brown, who's published a bunch of research on this, or books on the whole idea of vulnerability. She says that people, and this is not, it doesn't take any research to find this out, that people are not more vulnerable because they're afraid. They're afraid of what would happen if you saw what they were really like. We are not more vulnerable because we're afraid. So what makes a person feel vulnerable? There are all sorts of things. When she asked people, this is how they responded. Having to ask for help. asking someone out, waiting for the doctor to call back, being laid off, laying people off, initiating a sales call, saying, "I love you," first. When we are vulnerable, we can be hurt. We can be rejected. And that's what happened to Brian Wilson. When his music eclipsed the public's ability to affirm it, and he was in constant competition with the Beatles in his own mind. You know, I talked yesterday about self-condemnation, and Brian Wilson was a master of self-condemnation. But his band, the Beach Boys, rejected him when he went out on a limb with a record called Smile, right after Good Vibrations. They rejected him. The management rejected him. The public rejected him. His singles flopped. And what was his response? He retreated. And this guy, Brian Wilson, who did nothing in sort of half measures, he retreated to bed for 10 years. There's a song called Brian Wilson, and the refrain is, "Lying in bed just like Brian Wilson did." Maybe you've been hurt, and maybe you've retreated. Maybe you don't want to put yourself out there anymore. He couldn't wall himself off emotionally, so he walled himself off physically. And that's what you do. That's what the response to vulnerability, the fear of vulnerability creates defensiveness. It creates protection. You know, people who live their lives with walls up. Maybe you know someone like this. Maybe you're married to someone like this. My wife is. Because who wants to feel vulnerable? It's terrible. We do whatever we can not to feel weak, to avoid pain, to defend ourselves. We're living in the most heavily medicated, in debt, addicted population in the history of the world. And look at our political discourse. Unqualified apologies are worth their weight in gold. They don't exist. Weakness, vulnerability, is not something we're comfortable with. Now, how do we dodge vulnerability? How do we protect against it? And, of course, there's so much dimension to the Beach Boys that I'm sticking with it. Bear with me. You do it through bravado is one way. The Beach Boys produced some of the lamest bravado songs ever created because they didn't ring true at all. Have you ever listened to Be True to Your School? It's insipid. Or the song Don't Back Down. Or even I Get Around, as great as the music is, it doesn't ring true at all. These guys were not the cool guys. If you looked at their publicity photos, they were all a little pudgy. And hey, I love them. How can you not love that? They struggled with their weight. So bravado, the world tells us. If St. Paul tells us, when I am weak, then I am strong, the world says, when I am strong, then I am strong. And they tried that with Don't Back Down, and it failed. The next way at least Brian Wilson defended against vulnerability is through denial. He wrote one of the great songs about denial ever. And you know it all. All of you know it. Wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice if we could live together in the kind of world where we'd belong? It's about a wish. It's about a young man wishing he could marry his girlfriend and wishing that they'd be accepted. Now, to wish something is not to accept something. To wish, you know, maybe you know people who are wishing that they'd chosen a different mate or wishing they'd chosen a different career. And if you're stuck in a wish, you know that person is probably simmering in resentment. Wouldn't it be nice if that refrain is playing in your head, then you were defending against vulnerability. This is one of the common ways I do it. And wishing, of course, Christians turn wishing into prayer. And I'm not sure prayer and wishing are the same thing. Wishing is fantasy. Prayer is help. So denial is one way. And the last way that I think Brian Wilson defended against vulnerability was through self-pity. Victimization. Melancholy. He wrote a song called "I Just Wasn't Made for These Times." Every time I get the inspiration to go change things around, no one wants to help me look for places where new things might be found. I guess I just wasn't made for these times. That's a self-pitying sentiment. And if you know someone whose defense is self-pity, And this my wife definitely knows a lot about. You know that that wall is a strong one. And it's one that is somehow has blocked out the truth of original sin, that we've all sinned and fallen short of the grace of God. That no matter what situation you find yourself in where you've been done harm to, you have brought your own problem, your own dysfunction to the table in some way. So if you're talking to someone who's caught up in self-pity, they are caught up in a delusion. So what is the good news here? What is the, you know, Mockingbird, my ministry, we've got a series called Good News for People with Big Problems. And I thought it was so clever to put an enormous picture of Brian Wilson on the cover of it. And I don't think anyone else got it. But it's his period right after he's been in bed for 10 years. He's standing on a beach. He's 300 pounds wearing just a bathrobe because that's all he wore. He wore a bathrobe and pajamas for 10 years. Think about what that does to your children, by the way, and that you can have some sympathy for his kids who are also in the public eye. But what does this have to do with Jesus? What does this have to do with St. Paul? Well, what we find out is that God is not like the world, and that he does not respond to you the way that you were wired to defend against. Where there's no vulnerability, there's no reality, there's no ability to engage with God's grace. But we find out that God works through broken vessels, breaking them and then ministering to them and saving them, as I talked about yesterday. He's not waiting for them to get it together. We find out that if God could work through Brian Wilson, maybe he could work through me. The cross tells us, which is the ultimate statement of how God works, which is our Savior bleeding and dying, that we need not be afraid of weakness, that God is especially present in that moment, in that event, in that suffering. Alcoholics Anonymous, to plug that book, they say pain is the touchstone of all spiritual progress. It's counterintuitive, but it's true. The cross is where God engages with your failings, not your successes. So, am I saying that we all just need to be more vulnerable? Am I saying just, hey, everyone, let's have a big cry? Well, sort of, yeah, let's do it. I am saying that, but I'm also saying that God says, I love you first. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus is the one who humbled himself to death, death on a cross. As Brian Wilson says, midnight is another day. The darkest hour is where the dawn begins. And love, self-sacrificing love in the midst of weakness and sin, is something that the Beach Boys also knew something about. Brian wrote a modern hymn, and it's on his album Pet Sounds, and it's called You Still Believe in Me. This is what he said. He said, I know perfectly well that I'm not where I should be, and I've been very aware you've been patient with me. Every time we break up, you bring back your love to me. And after all I've done to you, how can it be you still believe in me? I try hard to be more what you want me to be, but I can't help how I act when you're not here with me. I try hard to be strong, but sometimes I fail myself. And after all I've promised you so faithfully, you still believe in me. That might as well be Peter singing to Jesus on the beach. God stays with us. He meets us at our point of weakness, in our vulnerability, and in our failure. This gospel message applies just as much to Christians as it does to non-Christians. So I ask you, where are you weak? Where are you vulnerable? Where are you defending and offending God? Well, that is the part of you where you were ripe to meet him this Lent. So if you really want to grow, my closing word is that we put away self-defense and strength And we ask ourselves this Lent, where are you weak? Amen.